Please be seated. About 5 weeks ago, when we started Lent, I stood right about here. And I said that over the course of Lent, we would hear stories of God's covenant with God's people. We have. Not all of them. There are a few more in there. But the other thing I told you is one of sort of the refrains of God's covenant with God's people is God looking at us and saying, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And today we hear that again. Not back in the beginning with Noah or Abraham, but in the middle of great turmoil for Israel. Jeremiah writes his books and spoke to Israel in the time when Israel was being destroyed. The Babylonians had come and had invaded the kingdoms, and their leaders and their great thinkers were being carted away. It looked like the kingdom had died. And yet, God came to Jeremiah, who was not always happy about it. He was a little grumpy, kind of like Jeremiah, and said, it doesn't matter. They can leave. They can leave the land I have given you. They can leave the temple and the Ark of the Covenant that is in it, and the stone tablets on which we wrote our covenant, yours and mine. And it doesn't matter. So I will write my covenant on their heart, and they will know, they will always know, that I am their God and that they are my people. Which is this beautiful, poetic way of talking about the permanence of God's relationship. But sometimes I think we all sort of sit and we listen to this sort of thing and we think, really? Are we sure that's how it's actually working? Because people, it seems, are very often more like people than they are like God's people. Reflecting this week on my dog, some of you have met Grizz, giant, fluffy, friendly puppy dog. I was reflecting on his early days with me. See, I adopted Grizz, and he was a giant, fluffy, friendly, entirely unmannered and untrained dog. So he had a few little things he would do, because, in large part, because he didn't know better. My favorite was if he thought you were talking on the phone for too long, and therefore not paying enough attention to him, he would jump on the table. Which was a problem. It took a few months, but you know, he doesn't even eat food off the table if you aren't looking now. 5 years does amazing things. And one of the things I know about dogs, in part because I'm my father's daughter and he would tell our pets far worse things, is that they listen far more to the tone than to what you are saying, so you can tell them all sorts of things. And for a long time, the refrain Grizz and I had, as I would tell him, was a very good thing he was a good dog, because otherwise I wouldn't love him. Which is not true. But there was one day, and I was in the middle of talking to him in sort of nonsense, and I caught that I had reversed it. This time I had told him that he was a very good dog because I loved him. Which is true. It's because I loved him that I invested hundreds and thousands of hours into working with him and training him and turning him into the much better mannered, much better trained dog many of you have met. Thought this week how much that parallels with our relationship with God. God does not love us because we are good, because God is better than I am. God does not tell us that ever. God loves us, and as a result, we strive to become the people who have written God's commandments on our hearts. We strive to become people of God, whose lives and actions and thoughts reflect the love God has already shown us. God has promised from the very beginning, from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of Israel, from the beginning of the church, from the beginning of our lives, that God will be our God and we will be God's people. Amen.